All right, so today we are going to be continuing on in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 today. And so what I want to do is I want to just go ahead and read the passage that we're going to be looking at, and then we'll talk, okay? So Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at the first four verses. So starting in verse 1, this is what it says. It says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." All right, so let me lay out how this is going to go. We're going to actually be camping out in these four verses for the next 3 weeks. And the reason for that is, as I was reading and praying through this particular passage, coupled with the previous passage we looked at in Ephesians on marriage, it became apparent to me that we needed to address some things leading into these verses. One, we needed to address certain perspectives that shape our view of family, which we're going to be talking about today, and it'll make more sense in a few minutes. Two, we need to really spend some time talking about what it means to honor our parents, which we're going to be talking about next week. And then three, we're going to spend some time talking about the father's role in all of this, all of which will sort of weave together as we go. So with that being said, over the years, as a part of being a pastor, I have had the privilege to lead several international mission teams, like I did recently with our Scotland team at Grace City Church. But I remember many years ago as a youth pastor leading a team of students on a mission trip to Argentina. And I had been on a lot of these trips, but I had never really been responsible for leading it by myself before. And so because I was new to leading such trips, I didn't think to mention certain things like how much baggage you should bring on the trip. So we show up to the airport to leave for Argentina, and this one girl who's about 17, 18 years old, she shows up with multiple bags, extremely heavy bags. And it was such a difficult situation because not only was she struggling to manage her own bags, but her bags really became everyone else's bags, if you know what I mean. It really added an extra burden to our travel because in order to get where we were going, we all at some point had to help her carry her bags. And so it was an extra weight for all of us to bear. Now, in the same sense, many of us also have a lot of heavy baggage in our lives, certain unresolved past issues that weigh us down in the present, things like hurt or fear or sadness or grief due to harsh words spoken to us or criticism or betrayal. Some of us carry the baggage of physical and or emotional abuse, parental neglect, etc., right? And the truth is that we often carry these heavy burdens in our lives into our relationships, and they inevitably affect those relationships. And so, as we bridge the gap between our last message on marriage and these verses in Ephesians on child-parent relationships, we have to start by acknowledging the baggage that we carry. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 says this. This is what Paul says. He says, "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." Now, I've been a follower of Jesus for 31 years now, as I mentioned last Sunday. And there is no passage of scripture that I can relate to more than this one, where Paul says, "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." So I really love the Lord and I want to do what's right, but I have such a hard time doing what is right. Anybody relate to that? Instead, time and time again, I return to doing what I hate, which is going to be a lifetime struggle that we have with sin, right? Anyway, several years ago, I really started to take an honest inventory of who I am as a man, as a follower of Jesus, as a husband to my wife, Pam, and as a father to my daughters, Bella and Anna Grace. And so I started asking myself, am I the man that God is calling me to be? And am I the husband that he's calling me to be? And am I the father that he's calling me to be? And as I asked those questions and prayed, God began to reveal some things to me that have needed to be addressed for a long time. Let me ask you, have you ever found yourself treating your spouse a certain way or treating your children a certain way? And while you're doing it, your conscience is like, why? Like, why are you so hard? Why are you so angry? Why are you such a jerk at times? Why did you fly off the handle about that, right? Why at times do you seem so distant and unavailable? Why are you so uninterested? Or, why am I not more loving and kind and gentle? And why am I not more selfless at times? Why do I not extend grace and mercy like I should? Bottom line, why am I not more like Jesus? Remember, that's what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that the key to godly and healthy relationships, and we related this to marriage, is to imitate Jesus. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, right? That we're to be imitators of God. And so for me, as I began to really seek after God with these kinds of questions and these kinds of prayers, God began to set me on a road to healing that began to shape me into the man that I so desperately wanted to become. Now, listen, I am a work in progress. I have not arrived, but God has done a work in me over the last few years. So many of you have heard my story, and I don't really want to go into great detail here today, but mine is a history of brokenness. Not only brokenness because of my own sin, which we all deal with that kind of brokenness, but I was a product of a broken family. I was a product of brokenness due to addiction and abuse, all of which fed directly into personal feelings of neglect and insecurity and fear and anger. And without a doubt, influenced certain rebellious choices and behaviors in my childhood and then on into my adolescence. But beyond that, I carried that heavy baggage of all of that brokenness into my marriage relationship with Pam, and then eventually into the decision to become a father, right? So like many of you, there were wounds in my life that were made during my formative years that I was allowing to shape the most important relationships in my life. And God revealed this to me several years ago through a passage of scripture that I had probably read hundreds of times over the years. And it was like this light bulb moment for me. And so I want to read that to you, and then we're going to talk about it really quickly. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And you've probably heard this if you've been in church any amount of time. You've probably heard this passage before. If you haven't, I want you to listen to this. Okay, well, I want you to listen to it if you've heard it before too. But listen to what God says in these passages of in these verses of scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. He says, "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me or those who walk in disobedience." But there's good news in verse 10. "But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands." So other versions say, "I shall visit the sins of the father on the children of the third and fourth generation." Now, I just want to take a moment and simply break down for you what that means. And I really want you to hear this, okay? The first thing I want to point out is this, and it says it right there, right? That the entire family is affected, sometimes to the third and fourth generation. So listen to this. Your sin and disobedience never only affects you. There is always, always, always collateral damage. It actually has further reaching consequences than you can imagine. What this means is that if you are a husband or a father, or if you are a wife or a mother, your sin not only affects you, but it affects your spouse. It affects your children. But listen to this. It can even affect your grandchildren and their children. And some of you are dealing with the effects of this, what we call the generational curse in your own life and in your own family. It's the heavy baggage that you carry. For example, many alcoholics or addicts can point to a history of addiction in their family. In most cases, it did not start with them, but it was passed down generationally. Now, let's talk about pornography addiction for just a second. 68% of men in churches admit to it. Did you know that when you view pornography, your brain produces opiates that are 4 times stronger than morphine? If you've ever been on on morphine, you understand that's powerful, right? So pornography essentially rewrites your brain with the wrong material in the very same way that drugs do when you get high. Real talk, okay? Real talk. I saw my first pornographic magazine when I was 8 years old. It belonged to my mom's boyfriend at the time, and it was just sitting there in the bathroom. Now, no doubt, that exposure had an effect on how I began to view and treat women that I carried well into my adult life and relationships. This behavior was actually passed down to me, and actually many men that I talked to who struggle with pornography were exposed to it in their homes as children. Now, listen, this doesn't excuse these types of behaviors or negate our personal responsibility for them. We still are held responsible for the sin in our own life. But it simply serves to show that our sin and disobedience has collateral damage that is far-reaching, that can reach our entire family and sometimes generations in a family, right? So your addiction doesn't just affect you. Your alcoholism, your unfaithfulness, your abusive behavior, your anger, your unkindness, your lack of love and compassion, your lack of grace and mercy, it can leave a legacy of wounds. And some of you watching have been deeply, deeply wounded as a result of the choices and actions of others in your past, while others of you simply need to be aware of the effect your sin has on those closest to you. Not only does it affect your relationship with your spouse and with your children, but it has damaging effects on how they relate to others. For example, if you have a sin issue in your life, it affects your spouse, it affects your children, but it also affects how they relate to others. So if this generational cycle is happening in your family, it will affect how your children relate to their own friends and their own spouses eventually and their own children, right? So it has far-reaching consequences. Most importantly, these kind of behaviors directly affect how those around us relate to and view God. Especially within the marriage relationship and within the parent relationship. For example, if you experience neglect or abuse at the hand of a parent, you may feel like your behavior is never good enough for God. You may feel like God is actually out to get you, like he's always looking to punish you, or like you have to work really hard for his approval or his attention. And so your perspective of his grace and his mercy may be skewed because it was shaped by your wounds. So when we talk about the marriage relationship or the parent-child relationship, it can be extremely difficult, a difficult subject to broach for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that, again, some of you have been dealt a really bad hand in your life, and you have been deeply wounded by people that were supposed to love you unconditionally and care for you. And again, you've carried the heavy baggage from those wounds into your marriages and into your relationships with your children. Can I just say this to you? If that's you, the pain of your past doesn't define you. Jesus Christ does. Your identity is in him alone. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are redeemed by his grace and made brand new in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us as much. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. It's dead and gone, right? Behold, the new has come. So listen, the pain of your past is now, listen to this, is now simply a canvas upon which God paints the masterpiece of his redemption in your life. And so what you need to do is you need to carry the baggage of those wounds to him and hand them over, because God doesn't want you to carry those things, right? He wants to clothe you now in healing and forgiveness, in peace and in joy. Now, the second reason conversations about marriage and parent-child relationships can be hard, and we have to slowly work our way through it, is that some of you, if you're being honest, have made big mistakes within these relationships. You've made mistakes in your marriage, or you've made mistakes in your relationship with your kids, and you've allowed sin to do real damage and wound those around you. If that's you, listen to me. There is grace for you, and there is healing for your family. And it starts with confession and repentance and full surrender. First, confessing and repenting before God of your sin and surrendering your life completely to Him. And then confessing and seeking the forgiveness of those that you have wounded. So listen, for some of you, it's time to draw a line in the sand and say the generational curse ends here. That's what I had to do in my own life and within my own family, is that it ends here. That cycle of sin, it's going to end here. Doesn't mean that I won't ever sin again. I'm talking about that sin that's been passed down. And again, I have a long way to go, but I literally drew a line in the sand and was like, it ends with me, right? Regardless of how you got where you are, it's time to really start pursuing God and making Him the foundation of your life and your relationships, and begin to wage war against your sin, which is what I've done, right? And start walking in obedience to Him. So if we're going to have healthy relationships, we have to unpack the baggage of our past and lay the contents at His feet, and then allow Him to clothe us with what's necessary to really love others as Christ loves us, which is what we're talking about, right? Is how our relationship with Jesus affects our relationships with others, right? We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. And the closest, most intimate relationships that we have within that loving others is our relationship with our spouse or a relationship with our children. And so again, we have to unpack those bags, lay them at the feet of Jesus, and then allow Him to clothe us with what's necessary to really imitate Him and love others as He has loved us. Listen, you are not bound by your past. Jesus has come to set you free. And God promises right there in Deuteronomy chapter 5 that just as we can leave a legacy of wounds, we can also leave a legacy of blessing, a legacy of His immeasurable, unfailing love for generations to come. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says this, and you need to hear this. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary," and listen to this, "and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest for your soul." That's the invitation, right? He's inviting us to lay it all down. All of that heavy stuff that we carry, all that stuff that skews our perspective of God and inevitably affects our relationships. He's inviting us to lay it all down, to lay our heavy burdens at His feet. And He's promising us that He will set us free. But it all starts with surrender. And so let me ask you this. Will you surrender your life? Will you surrender your baggage, your past, your heavy burdens, your relationships to Him? And then He can start the process of healing and really teaching you what it looks like to have godly and healthy relationships. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, You are so good. God, You are so faithful. God, even when we are unfaithful, You are faithful and You love us. And You pursue a relationship with us in Your love, Father, to death on a cross, Lord. God, we thank You for salvation. God, we thank You for the gift that was purchased for us through the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus, on the cross, Lord, that we have now been given the right to be called Your sons and Your daughters, God, to be clothed in a righteousness that doesn't belong to us, Lord. God, that we could never earn, that we could never deserve, God, to clothe us in joy and peace and grace and mercy. God, thank You for the gift of salvation. God, we thank You for the promise of new life, that old things pass away and all things are made new in You. God, we thank You for the promise of abundant life as we follow You, and for the promise of eternal life, God. I pray for those watching right now, God, because I have heard a lot of the stories of the people within our church. And I know that there are people that are holding on to these really heavy bags from their past. I pray right now, God, that healing would begin today. God, that they would begin to just lay those things at the foot of the cross. And that, God, You would set them free and set their feet on a path to healing, God. And that You would give them rest. And that You would give them joy. And that You would give them peace, God. And that You would also start to heal the relationships that have been affected by this baggage, God. I pray for those who have been wounded in their lives. God, I pray healing over their life as they surrender that stuff to you. God, I pray for those who have sinned and their sin has greatly affected their marriages or their relationship with their kids. God, I pray healing over that situation as well. God, as they confess and as they repent of their sin, God, that you would begin the work of healing and really resurrecting those relationships, Lord, because I know what kind of damage they could do. So God, just have your way with us, Lord, as we continue to look at what it means to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, God, and to love others, God, as you have called us and commanded us to love others, and especially within our marriages and our relationships with our parents and with our children, Lord, I pray, Father, God, that you would teach us to love well. Teach us to be imitators of Jesus, God. So have your way with us, God. Continue the work of sanctification in our life as we surrender ourselves to Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.